So another anime that I really liked with a very powerful, interesting message, shall we say, that was very fucking cryptic and hard to figure out was Evangelion. Evangelion? Evangelion. You are not alone. Well, not the movies actually, just the series. I don't really have an opinion on the movies yet because I didn't really watch it with much presence, shall we say. But anyways, on the series, so okay, I want to talk about the concept. So one is the concept of the Hedgehog's Dilemma. You know, I don't think I'll even talk about the anime. I'll just talk about the concepts because I think it's too much to go into from the anime and I can't fully remember it. So the Hedgehog's Dilemma essentially states that, okay, like imagine you're a hedgehog and you're spiky, and there's another hedgehog who's also spiky, and maybe you really like the hedgehog, and maybe you want to give that hedgehog a really tight hug, but you can't. Why? Because you're a fucking hedgehog. You have spikes. The closer you get to the other hedgehog, the more you're gonna pierce them and stab them, and that hurts, right? And that's sad. And that's life, man, because it's like we really want to get close to others, right? We crave this fucking deep connection. Yet when we get too close to someone and they can see our shadows and our darknesses and insecurities that we haven't fully dealt with or integrated, we freak the fuck out, man. We're like, no, you can't be like that. You can't see me like that. I'm triggered by you. Fuck off. And then you have this like boom, this huge kind of like repulsion, you know, this like ricochet, this repelling of energies and souls away from each other. And it's shitty because it's like, well, if I repel you, then I'm alone and I don't want to be alone, but I don't want to get too close to you and get stabbed by you, by your spikes. So then it's like we're in this contradiction, this impasse, you know, of like, fuck, either way, I'm suffering and I feel it feels unsatisfying. And in the anime, to bring it back a little bit to the anime, there's this thing in the anime called the AT field, the absolute terror field. And well, essentially in the anime, in the beginning, it's like teenagers piloting giant robots fighting alien angels from outer space. Yes, you know, if you hear the premise, you're like, well, this is just some like action, like dumb filled action flick. But no, fuck no. It goes from action flick with giant robots and pew pews and, you know, biblically accurate angels to like just like insane Jungian, Nietzschean, Freudian fucking analysis on the human condition. And I think it's fucking amazing. That's why I like it so much. And honestly, I didn't understand like probably like 70% of what I'm gonna say to you until I watched like a dozen fucking analysis videos on YouTube. But anyways, back to the AT field. So and these giant robots that fight against aliens, or sorry, against the angels, like they both the giant robots and the angels have AT fields. Well, actually, the giant robots are reconstructed angels made to be used by humans, and essentially, the AT field is just a giant barrier, right? So it's like it's a giant shield, you know, that a pilot can activate, you know, if the angel is firing like a laser pew pew beam at you, you can like activate it to protect yourself, right? So how does that go back to psychology? Well, the AT field is something that we all have. It's basically kind of like the barrier between your ego or your persona, like your outward appearance that you want people to like and your inward shadows that you don't want people to see. So when people get too close to you, you activate your AT field to tell them to back the fuck off because I don't want you to see me in all my disgusting shame, right? And then you might lash out at them, you might get triggered, and you might blame them for being this and that, but actually, it's your own shadows that's making you feel shameful and angry and defensive. And it's like that anger, actually, yes, that anger, if anything, is the AT field, is when you activate this defense, this shield, to back people off so that they don't get any closer. Because you know what's behind the AT field? Vulnerability, man, absolute vulnerability. You know, it goes from absolute terror. Well, it's absolute terror because it's like in your most vulnerable state, that's when you can get hurt the most, right? It's sadness, it's fear, it's pain, it's this like traumatized crying child, right? And that's like, well, you don't want anyone near there, because if they're near your child, they can hurt the child, the most juiciest, tender part of you. So by all means, you're going to use your anger, you're going to use your AT field to defend yourself from other people from penetrating you and hurting yourself at that core stage. That, of course, we don't want, because it hurts, right? But actually, the only reason we developed AT field in the first place, like we don't have AT fields to begin with as babies and children, I believe. It's not until you start getting hurt, you start developing defenses and AT fields to protect yourself. To protect yourself from the absolute terror that could come if someone got there and was like, hey, this is wrong, I don't like this. And because you're so vulnerable and weak and unsure and just unaware and perhaps lacking your own self-assurance that you haven't developed yet, that when an external force comes in and criticizes your inner being, you believe that what they're saying is the truth. Whereas if you really go into your shadows and you really kind of excavate it all and walk through the abyss and really see yourself for all you are and all your darkness, which is all equally valid and beautiful and powerful, then it's like no matter what anyone comes in and says about yourself, you are self-assured that you won't be triggered and you won't experience as much terror, or maybe none if you are really developed. Then I think perhaps you don't need an AT field anymore. You don't need to protect yourself. You are just as like completely self-contained, self-sufficient, self-fulfilled, self-efficient being that is able to just really, I think, radiate love and understanding and compassion to everyone around you, you know, which is really the stage 5 of kind of the self-awareness model thing I talked about in an early episode. And then it's like, imagine you get to that stage, you strip away your AT field, you become a hedgehog without spikes, a naked hedgehog, a beautiful, naked, powerful, strong, self-determined, self-fulfilled hedgehog, and another person does the same thing. Now you have two naked hedgehogs that are able to fully hug and mate and connect and bond with one another to an infinite divine degree, right? Because I do feel like connecting at that point, at your core, is you touching the divine, is you becoming the divine self. And then that's like you have the protection of the divine, and you don't need to put up this like mental barrier, this anger, this AT field to protect yourself. And then imagine another person does that, they're also connected to the divine, then it's divinity connecting towards divinity. And then it's like, imagine if everyone on the fucking planet did that, then we would all be connected as one fucking, I don't know, unified field of divinity. Like, imagine what kind of fucking planet we would be. Like, we would be the apex fucking, I don't know about apex, but like, apex fucking, you know, enlightened, woke, angelic, Christ consciousness, loving, beautiful, divine planet, you know? And all the ways that is good, you know, without perhaps puffing our egos up too much to an unhealthy degree, but I think you get my point. And it's funny, actually, so in the anime, they actually had a solution to this, because ultimately, I think this is what they wanted as well, this like divine unity, this ultimate unity with one another that we're all fucking craving, that we can't get because we have spikes and trauma and AT field. So you're like, well, how do we forcibly unite every fucking body on this planet? And they're like, well, let's turn everyone back into primordial soup. Aqua doctrinae, right? Which is like this kind of primordial divine liquid. And essentially, so in the anime, they call it the Instrumentality Project, which is like this fucking thing they do. It's like they enact some like occult, Kabbalistic, angel, Adam and Eve, fucking demiurge like formula thing, transmutation circle, whatever. And it basically, it like pops everyone, like everyone just kind of like, like pops like a bubble. They don't even explode. They just kind of meander into this bubble and they pop into this like primordial liquid. Like literally everyone in the fucking planet except like two characters in the end. Which I'll talk about later because it relates to the anime Animus. But everyone pops into this like primordial liquid because they're like, well, well, how do we get rid of this fucking ATE field? Well, if everyone wasn't a human being with a mind and fucking traumas to like lash out at each other, and we're all just this one unified substance of this liquid, then yeah, well, fuck yeah, we did it, guys. We're all unified, right? Fuck. But then it's like, you know, as my friend Peter said, it's like the ultimate suicide in a way, right? It's like, well, I can't figure this fucking human game out. I can't connect and have friends the way that I want to. Therefore, not only am I going to kill myself in a way that turns me back into liquid, I'm going to do that to fucking everyone. So then everyone has to be unified with me, you know? And it's kind of just like really sad, kind of like, I don't know, incel victim mentality kind of mindset that I'm getting the vibes for. You know, as a solution to your own inadequacies and your own inability to actually integrate your own shadows and become an individuated, differentiated being, right? And I think, you know, ultimately, the middle path, the divine truth out of this whole thing is like, no, one, we don't turn ourselves into primordial goo, and two, we don't be this, like, absolutely defensive, triggering person, snowflake person, where we are spiking each other for triggering us. But somewhere in the middle, it's like, yes, like I said earlier, you individuate yourself to the point where you deal with your shadows, to the point where you don't feel like you need to put up spikes in an AT field, right? And then if everyone does that, then we are able to connect with one another on perhaps a primordial soup level without actually turning to primordial soup, you know? Yeah, like one extreme is extreme separation. One, the other extreme is like extreme unification to the point where you're dead, right? So I think meeting in the middle is perhaps the kind of like the balance we ought to aim to achieve, in this life, as we grow and develop ourselves into, I don't know, the truth or our authenticity, our God self, our divinity, you know. And the other thing, or just a little extra thing I wanted to add on, so actually the final message, of this whole video, sorry, of this whole podcast, is that, individuate yourself, like, deal with your fucking shadows. Like, look, I understand you don't want to be lonely, I don't want to be lonely, but you don't want to be hurt either, of course. So the only way you can get to what you want, if that's what you want, is to really look at your darkness, your shadows, walk through the depths and find yourself and integrate those, love yourself for all your darkness and light to the point where no one can tell you otherwise, right? And then radiate at this completed whole Jesus-like, Buddha-like being, all right, into the world. And hopefully, and then it's like by the virtue of your existence alone and that presence, you will help others do the same and shed their spikes and their AT fields. And I think, you know, that is exactly what, you know, people like Jesus and Buddha did. So basically, I'm telling you to become like Jesus if you want the best life you can. Or, you know, try your best to go towards that direction in your authentic, unique way. So just a little other thing I want to talk about is, there's like, well, there's two main characters, but two of them I want to talk about. So the main one is Shinji, and then there's a girl called Asuka, and they're both teenagers that pilot the Evangelions, the giant robots that fight alien angels. And Shinji, you could say, is anima-possessed, and Asuka is animus-possessed. And these are kind of like Jungian concepts that, you know, to be honest, I don't know all of that much about, but I have enough to maybe give you a little interesting tidbit of knowledge. So Shinji is anima-possessed, which means it's like he's trying to, in a way, integrate his feminine side. Because, you know, of course, we have both sides, regardless if you're an actual man or a woman. He's trying to integrate his feminine side, but he's anima-possessed in the way that he's doing it in an unhealthy manner. So in the anime, like, you know, a lot of people don't like Shinji because he's like a criny, whiny, emotional little bitch that just like, you're just like, fuck, man, just get the fuck over it. Just do the fucking thing, man. Like, the whole planet is resting on your just your ability, or just even your fucking attempt or enthusiasm to try and pilot the fucking robot to save humanity from these aliens, right? But he's like, no, my feelings and stuff, it's not, it doesn't feel right. And it's like, fuck, look, yes, your feelings are fucking important, but maybe you do, you can find a compromise a little bit and meet in the middle and, like, you know, put that to the side for now, because it's not 100% relevant to the fucking emanating existential global threat of the aliens, right? But he's always kind of whining about it and not doing his duty as we want him to. And, you know, of course, he has every right to choose his way, but it gets to a point where it's like, yes, it's absolutely have your boundaries and be selfish in your feelings, but, like, maybe there's a point where you're a little bit out of balance, you're being too selfish and self-indulgent to the point that you're not helping you and you're harming others. You know, then I think maybe that's kind of going too far. So that's him, anime possessed, right? Oh, and, you know, I say anime possessed because it's like, being emotional and, you know, too much in your feelings and etc. That is a feminine archetype, characteristics, and it's not to say it's like derogatory or anything like that, which I'm sure you understand. I'm getting self-conscious because my friend was really self-conscious about it, and I feel like there was no need to be. Now I'm taking that on board. Anyway, so, and then Asuka was animus possessed, which means she is trying to embrace her masculine, but she's over fucking doing it and it's unhealthy. So, you know, in the anime, she's this very, like, bolsterous kind of, like, you know, she's a bit of a jerk, she's a bit of an asshole, she's a bit of a dick, you know, kind of these, like, male masculine archetypes, right? And she's always trying to get shit done and trying to, like, do this and that, to the point where it's like, ma'am, you need to calm the fuck down, okay? You are over fucking doing it, and you're just causing chaos and damage to everyone. But then what's funny is, like, these two are actually really attracted to each other in the game, sorry, in the anime, for some unknown reason. Well, it is known because they, each other represents the part that they're trying to integrate. You know, Shinji being overly feminine is reflected in Asuka by being overly masculine. So it's like, if Shinji could adopt some of Asuka's traits and be slightly more masculine in that sense, maybe he would be in balance. Similarly, if Asuka could be a bit more feminine and be more feeling focused rather than just trying to get shit done and be angry and fucking, you know, not take into consideration any feelings, then she would be more balanced. And it's like, in their union, they would be very good and balanced and great, and perhaps, you know, less spiky and hedgehoggy and AT fieldy. And, you know, like, with relationships in real life, like, oftentimes there would be that dynamic where, let's say, the male is anima possessed and then the female is animus possessed. And they would be really attracted to each other, and they might have really amazing, explosive, like, toxic sex, right? Because they're connecting to that divine, that kind of primal part of them that they need to integrate into their fucking soul. But then outside of it, they don't connect very well psychologically. They get into fights, they trigger each other, they blame each other for this and that. And it's a very toxic relationship, like, psychologically, mentally, spiritually, soulfully, right? But physically, it's very fucking good. And I 100% can relate to this in one of my previous relationships. But the only reason this dynamic plays out is because we're inherently, again, we're trying to find connection and unification. We're trying to be naked hedgehogs hugging each other. So we ultimately seek out that other part of us that we need in order for us to become whole. You know, there's that whole, like, relationship between narcissists and empaths, and that's exactly it. We're finding that part, but it's like, rather than actually being aware of the fact that we're doing this and we're trying to integrate ourselves, each other, in a way, to become whole, we only like the other person, only want the other person for the good traits and not the bad traits. In which case, the bad traits reflect aspects of our shadow that we haven't dealt with, that we are perceiving to be bad. But we blame the other person for being bad rather than actually looking within and dealing with our own shit and our own shadows and dealing with that to overcome ourselves and become whole. So then it's like, when you attract these toxic relationships, one, it's like, you got to take a step the fuck back and be like, well, the only reason this is here is because there's part of me that is trying to integrate something. And rather than blaming the other person and feeling like they're a piece of shit, it's like, well, how can I actually take this experience, this reflection, as a way for me to learn something about myself and to grow into my ultimate golden sun stage 5 of myself, in which I am whole and I'm a naked hedgehog that can hug other people without an AT field. So, okay. And that's it. That's the podcast. I hope you got something out of that. Fuck. Should I summarize this? I think you got the point. Maybe I don't need to summarize it. It's like I think I did. I think you got the point. It's ultimately find, well, yeah, it's to integrate your shadows, individuate yourself, man, differentiate yourself, man, you know, from a human design perspective or Jungian perspective or from a Gnostic perspective, what's the word for it, like to reach the Pleroma through the falsities of the Demiurge, past the Pictus Sophia through the 30 Aeons into Pleroma, into the Empyrean, like, is that the Gnostic equivalent? But essentially, it's like transcendence, it's enlightenment, right? Completion of yourself. Do that, and you'll be connected, and then you will be with God. And I think ultimately, that's actually the final stage of all evolution of all consciousness in the entire universe, is like, we get to that naked hedgehog state where we can connect with one another, and then eventually all the consciousness of the entire universe gets connected with one another. And then we become God again. We become absolutely united again. Well, we inevitably become the primordial soup without actually becoming primordial soup, I suppose. Maybe at that point, we will just become soup because it will just feel the same. Well, I guess it's like, oh fuck, oh my God. I just blew my mind a little bit. Well, You know, okay, sorry, this is a tangent, I was meant to wrap up, but can I just add this in? You know how in water, it seems like it's a liquid, but it's actually just molecules going over each other like an avalanche, and it gives the illusion that it's liquid. Well, what if in this entire universe, all the living things are just like molecules and atoms, and it's like, if you really zoom out, and if all of us were interacting in a unified way, maybe we would just look like molecules going over each other. And in a way, we would look like liquid. And in a way, we would look like primordial fucking soup. We would look like the Aqua Doctrinae. And that is eventually what we will become. Oh, I see. And it's like, if we do it prematurely like they did in Evangelion and turn everyone into liquid while we're on Earth, we're actually going back a stage, because like now Earth can't harmonize with other planets because we haven't done the work, you know. So while temporarily on the short term in a micro scale Earth would seem like we have fused back into divine source, we actually haven't. We've done it on a very micro lesser scale, like on a very demiurge like scale, but we haven't actually done the whole great magnum opus work to connect ourselves back into the divine fucking universe. So, make sure you don't turn yourself into soup. Okay? Beautiful, I love you. Have a good day, my beautiful butterflies. Oh my God. okay, bye.